This is Jay Sekulow. Special Counsel Durham speaks. His findings are that the FBI conduct is sobering.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Logan's with me in the studio. We've got a jam-packed program. We're going to talk about John Durham's testimony saying that the Crossfire Hurricane investigation and the errors that were committed by the FBI, which were numerous, he calls it sobering. It was that the FBI has to fix its problems, and it's not simply a training issue. It goes deeper than that. So this was pretty damaging testimony so far about the FBI and the FBI's conduct. What's interesting also, he used this phrase, and I don't know if we have this one, Will, pulled, but he said he displayed a serious lack of analytical rigor in talking about the FBI personnel. So I want you to think about that phrase for a moment, that the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, investigating a presidential nominee and then the president himself, because he won the election in 2016, that they failed to display a serious lack of analytical rigor. And I focus on that phrase because it is a real assessment of the problem.
Well, it's a good phrase to focus on, and it is a real assessment of the problem. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, together with the Justice Department, both of whom worked with Durham, has really failed because they start out with the premise. In this case, the premise was that there was a nefarious intent. You don't start an investigation with a presupposition beyond a reasonable doubt that the actor conducted himself or herself nefariously and with bad intent. You seek to find if that is the case by facts that you develop. That is not what happened here, and that's why Durham says he is sobered by this investigation of Crossfire Hurricane. He may be sobered. I'm shocked.
Let's take a listen, actually, to John Durham from just a few minutes ago.
As we said in the report, our findings were sobering. I can tell you, having spent 40 years plus as a federal prosecutor, they were particularly sobering to me. A number of my colleagues who spent decades in the FBI themselves, they were sobering.
This is what he also found, that there was significant reliance on investigative leaves provided or funded by Trump's political opponents. And here we are with these, you know, now we got these new DA investigations and new U.S. attorney investigations. It just does not stop. But this does not build confidence, Andy, in the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
No, it does not, Jay. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, when I was in the United States Attorney's Office for 5 years, was the premier law enforcement agency. You look to them for what they said, fidelity, bravery, and integrity. They've lost all that, unfortunately, because they've become politicized. They've become an organization that is really doing the will of a political party, in this case, the Democrats. Merrick Garland is a puppet of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a puppet of the left. The FBI has been corrupted by these activities. Crossfire Hurricane was a hoax to begin with, a hoax to end with. It led to Mueller. It led to all these things. And this allegation, ridiculous, that Trump was an existential threat to the United States. He's not an existential threat to the United States. If you want to know who is, Mr. Merrick Garland and President Biden, look in the mirror.
Okay, let me ask you this, Logan. Here's the question I have. Are people just immune to this at this point?
I think a bit. You know, they're maybe not tuning in as much as they used to. They've seen this thing over and over and over. Now, even the situation with Hunter Biden yesterday, you start to get into a cycle where even the news knows it. You know, they've been breaking into Durham. Durham has been the main focus between that and what's going on with the Titanic rescue attempts that are happening right now.
Looks like they may have some positive.
Maybe, but you're saying that kind of shows you even where the American people are. The news cycle is changing rapidly. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Yeah, we'll break it down a lot more in the next segment.
Yeah, I'd like to know from our members and the people listening to this broadcast, is this something you're interested in still? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And is it impacting how you're viewing the upcoming election? We're also going to talk about a victory on a cross case, a victory also, real positive developments at the United Nations. We've got a lot to talk about coming up on the broadcast. 800-684-3110 to talk to us.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your phone calls. A lot of you are calling in right now, so stay on hold if you are there, because we're going to try to get through as many of them as you can. As we just want to know what your feelings on this. When you see something like what's happening this morning with the Durham hearings, are you tuning in? Do you care? Or are you now just, you know, pushing to the 2024 election now that we are under, what, 8 weeks from the first debate?
Unreal.
Or right at 8 weeks, probably. It's like, yep, the 24th, I think they said, in August. So, you know, we're right at that time period, 2 months away from the first debate. We know who the moderators are. We know it's the Fox News. You've got Martha McCallum and Brett Baer will be both moderating, yep, that debate. So you have...
The question would be, does Donald Trump come?
I think he does. If I had to bet, I would think he would. He hasn't shied away from CNN, from Brett Baer already on Fox. You know, why not? Go establish yourself still as this front runner. Now, do I think he does all of them? Maybe not. But
yeah,
could he do the first? Should he do the first one? I think so.
I want to play sound. This is from Representative Ben Klein from Virginia. And then, Andy, let you and I talk about what this is, because this is a very big statement. Talks about exculpatory evidence. Take a listen.
Your report is not just sobering, as you stated. It's outrageous and deeply troubling. Can you confirm these several main points that it found? The FBI did not have an adequate basis on which to launch Crossfire Hurricane, correct?
That's correct.
The FBI failed to examine all available exculpatory evidence, correct?
Correct.
FBI leadership continued the investigation even when case agents were unable to verify the evidence, correct?
That's correct.
The FBI did not interview key witnesses in Crossfire Hurricane, correct?
Correct.
And individuals within the FBI abused their authority under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Andy, let's break this down. I mean, we hear that, Logan. How do you react, first of all? Because you're not a lawyer, but you follow this stuff. I'm going to break it down for everybody. That's a big deal, what was just said in that paragraph.
I think maybe you need to explain that to people, why that's a big deal. Because I think you hear a lot of this jargon. You hear a lot of the same people talking. And, you know, we showed that clip of Jim Jordan. And very much so, if you're not following this, you know, moment to moment, you would have thought that could have been a clip from 2 years ago.
Okay, so let's start with this, Andy. The FBI failed to examine all exculpatory evidence, correct? Durham says yes, correct. Let's talk about what exculpatory evidence meant here.
Exculpatory evidence means evidence that tends to show that the person did not commit a crime. That means they're exculpated, exonerated. When you're doing an investigation, you don't go in there with the presumption of nefarious intent. That's something that you go to try to find if it existed and if you can prove it to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. They went in there and they knew that there was information, the FBI did, that would exculpate, that it would be exonerative of someone, and yet they ignored that information. They chose not to look at it. They chose to pretend that it didn't exist. The FBI is not a grand jury, and a grand jury does not have to look at exculpatory investigation, but the premier law enforcement agency, that's what they tout themselves at, has to.
Okay, so here's another one. The FBI this is huge, folks. The FBI continued the investigation even though when case agents were unable to verify the evidence. So the evidence could not be verified as correct or true or trustworthy, and yet they continued the investigation when the evidence was falling apart.
Yeah, well, this is another part of the Durham report that is so shocking rather than merely sobering, in my estimation. You find evidence that you can't verify. You can't determine whether or not it's in fact the case. You can't substantiate it. And yet you say, forget it, ignore it. Just press on. Just keep going and go forward regardless of whether the evidence is there or not. Why would you do this unless you had a corrupt political motive and corrupt political intent? And in my estimation, they did have such a corrupt intent. This is blasphemous to do this and to create this kind of a situation for a victim, yep, of the investigation.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Scott, who's calling from South Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Real quick, I'm a retired military as well as a biker, so I can echo what a lot of my friends are saying.
Okay.
We're not numb. We are tired of you guys and different people doing the job, finding all the facts, finding all the evidence, and nothing's being done. That's what we're tired of. We're not really numb. We don't believe anything's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the way our constitutional republic's set up. I mean, the Justice Department's the one that has to. We can't, as private lawyers at the ACLJ, we can't initiate criminal actions. I mean, we don't have the authority to bring a criminal case. We can work with Congress for oversight hearings. We did take the IRS to court and beat them back to the point where they had to change all the rules and regulations relating to nonprofits and how they were audited.
I don't think they're necessarily targeting your work or the work here. It's saying in general, the general feeling is this stuff comes to light and nothing happens.
Well, Lois Lerner was fired. Okay. Jim Comey was fired. What's his name? The two agents involved, McCabe, Chuck, they were fired. Now they've got their pensions back because the next administration comes back.
They end
back
up on MSNBC.
Yeah. Well, that you can't stop that. I mean, the problem is, and I do understand the frustration, this is where congressional oversight hearings come in. But, you know, the wheels of justice grind, unfortunately, slowly. And what's going to have to happen here is a political change as well. We're finding out all the facts in court. I mean, we're getting all that information. It's just taking it to the next level. I appreciate Scott's call, 1-800-684-3110. There was another thing that was said by Durham. This was I thought that was unbelievably damaging, Andy, and that was, he said, the FBI did not interview key witnesses in Crossfire Hurricane, and individuals within the FBI abused their authority under the FISA Act, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and his answer to that was, yes, that's true. Now, you think about, and the only one that was held liable there, sort of, was the lawyer that doctored the evidence to get a FISA warrant, and he was suspended from the practice of law for 6 months and then reinstated. It was really nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he was really rapped on the knuckles for something that he did, which was lying to a court by changing and altering documents in connection with getting a warrant, which I think is outrageous. He should have been disbarred. He should never have been allowed to practice before a tribunal again. But back to what you were saying, if you hear, you know that there may be evidence on the part, in the part possession of a witness, and you choose not to interview that witness. You say, I'm not going to bother with that. You know what that means, Jay? I just don't want to hear what you have to say because it doesn't follow my playbook. It doesn't comply with my agenda. Well, my agenda is to prove that the object of my investigation is guilty of a crime, colluded with the Russians, did all these horrible, terrible things. I don't want to hear anybody who says anything contrary to that. If there is someone like that, don't point me to him or her, I'm not going to talk to him.
So, you know, Durham also spoke about how deep this problem is on the FBI. I want to play the soundbite, but I also want to say something before I do, and that is Jim Jordan's doing a magnificent job with the Weaponization Committee. But, you know, the Republicans are holding a 5-seat majority in the House of Representatives. I mean, the next election cycle, you could, you know, if the Republicans don't have the House and the Senate and they lose the White House again, well, then let me tell you what is going to happen. Nothing. So that's why, you know, we'll bring things to light through our Freedom of Information Act litigation, but it's good to be able to work with Congress on these things. Listen to what Durham said, how deep this problem is, number 7.
While I'm encouraged by some of the reforms that have been implemented by the FBI, the problems identified in this report, anybody who actually reads the report and the details of the report, the documented portions of the report, I think would find that the problems identified in the report are not susceptible to overnight fixes. As we said in the report, they cannot be addressed solely by enhancing training or additional policy requirements. Rather, what is required is accountability, both in terms of the standards to which our law enforcement personnel hold themselves and in the consequences they face for violation of laws and policies of relevance.
So what he said, what Durham said, although Durham brought 2 prosecutions and lost both of them, was that you're going to have to, it's not going to fix itself. It's more than training. It's institutionally based. And then when it's institutionally based, you got to do what we do in the IRS. We sued them. Now, I don't, you know, you got to get a cause of action where they're taking action against your client, but they did take action against our clients and we sued them. We went after them aggressively and we did not hesitate to go after them aggressively and we won. So that's what you have to do here. And you got to hope the House oversight leads into that. You want to try to grab Amy's call before the break?
Yeah, we can do it real quick. Amy's calling in Georgia on line 3. Amy, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say I listen to y'all every day, and y'all asked a couple of days ago who we would vote for in the primary. And at that time, I was kind of unsure, But when they indicted Donald Trump, I knew exactly I was voting for Donald Trump. I don't care if he's in jail, under the jail. He's got my vote.
I think Amy's sentiment is shared by a lot of people who see almost the proof of what he's been saying for years when these kind of moments happen, whether you agree with him or not.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to argue that. I saw that. I was in Florida. The coverage changed rapidly when the indictment happened. It went from we're talking DeSantis negatively to all of a sudden the conversation turned to Trump in a fairly, not necessarily always positive, but definitely in the more showmanship kind of way. Well, but phone lines are open still, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, I'd like to know what people, our audience, thinks about where this is politically and how they feel about these prosecutions against Donald Trump. We're going to talk about some of our international matters as well, dealing with India and persecution of Christians there. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. How is this affecting your whole political thinking? 1-800-684-3110. If you're for DeSantis, if you're for Biden, if you're for Trump, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
Back to Secular. We will be taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I know we wanted to shift gears a little bit.
Yeah, and we're going to take your calls. So, you know, keep calling. Phone lines are jammed right now. We'll work those in. I want to talk for a moment. By the way, if you need legal help, go to aclj.org/help or just right on the website. There's a help button. And a lot of people are doing that, and we're able to offer assistance where it fits within what we do. So we encourage you to do that. I think we had heard from about 180 people last week. So that was good. We've got a lot going on at the ACLJ also internationally, and that is there's a situation with India. You know, we have an office in Pakistan, so we do a lot of work in Pakistan. And when you think about India, you think about, well, India is a friendly country. We have a good relationship with them. They're a nuclear power. But the fact is Christians are being persecuted there in very significant ways, and we have just drafted, and you're going to say, why are we doing this? We just drafted a letter to the President of the United States, President Biden. And attached to that letter, we have a document that outlines the problems that are going on because the Prime Minister of India, Sisi, is coming to the United States. So first of all, what is the problems in India?
Sure. So India is actually the 11th worst place in the world for Christians to live. And we see almost on a daily basis mob attacks. They have anti-conversion laws that they use against Christians. And so really the persecution is just increasing in India. And so Prime Minister Modi is coming over to the United States to meet with President Biden on Thursday. So we put this letter together, just giving them, putting them on notice that, you know, this is a country that we were the largest trading partner with India, and we give them a lot of financial support, military support, and economic support. And we want them to address, we want President what Biden to address this issue.
What are the problems of the Christian minority? It's because it's a significant minority. I mean, it's a minority religion in India, but it's a lot of people, millions and tens of millions of people. What is happening?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, the RSS, which is an extremist Hindu group, yeah. And actually,
you think Hindus, you think peace, love,
right?
But there are these extreme sects, and this is one of them,
right? And actually, Modi is a part of that extremist group. And also his political party, the BJP, those are two parties that are complicit in actually assisting this persecution against Christians. And it's mob violence. They attack churches.
Is it like we see in Pakistan where it's like village by village kind of problem? Because Pakistan, you know, they go, what you know, because you handle this, well, they'll go into a town and just like wipe out the Christian population.
Yes. So we are seeing that because there are certain areas in India. India is very large, but there are certain areas in India that have these anti-conversion laws, and they will use those against Christians. So Christians will be having a church service. Mobs will come and start harassing them, beating them up. And the police come, and who gets charged? Not the mobs that are disrupting and beating these people up. They then charge the Christians because they don't want Christians to convert any of the Hindus into Christianity.
And we have done work in India extensively, and we have done work at the United Nations focusing on India. We've gotten a pastor out of jail, American, who was in prison for months in India. I got to say, again, you think to yourself, okay, this is a U.S.-American ally, right?
Right.
And they were in jail for months. Sisi worked, led that team, and got him out. But we had to work to get him out.
Yeah, so Pastor Naren, it was 7 months that it took to get him out of India. They took his passport. First, he was in prison, and then they took his passport, wouldn't let him leave. Bogus claims, but he was told right off the bat that it was because he was a Christian and that they had been given, you know, charges from the top that they wanted to send a notice to Christians that you're not welcome in India, and that's what they were going to do. So India has been just a growing concern of Christian persecution, and we want to point that out to President Biden and Secretary Blinken so that they can discuss this with Prime Minister Modi.
We launched probably 10 years ago, a project called Be Heard, which is still active.
Yep.
And it focuses actually on these kind of things.
Yeah.
And we don't inundate people with emails on it.
No, you'll
it's
get
just
one occasionally.
When there's something up.
It's our dedicated project to persecuted Christians internationally. And it's a really great resource. If you go on BeHeardProject.com, you can still see what we're doing and what we've done. Again, it's just a project of the ACLJ. It's another way people can interact with us. But if you are passionate about this type of topic, it's a good resource to go. And we know the reason we talk about it is because people respond. You know, when we talk about these issues, it's not like our audience goes, well, this isn't American, I'm turning it off. That's not how this works. They actually respond sometimes even more so to what's happening around the world because they see what true persecution can look like.
Well, we have another situation, which is in Nigeria, where 90% of all Christians killed for their faith are in one nation. One nation has 90% of all Christians killed for their faith, and that nation is Nigeria. So it's genocide. The ACLJ and our affiliates around the globe have taken action on this. Direct action at the United Nations. CC does a lot of work with the United Nations Committee on Unlawful Detentions, but also these other committees that deal with genocide. The situation in Nigeria, we've represented families there before. We have a FOIA lawsuit that uncovered that the State Department was ignoring the facts of what was going on. So we have both our international team and our domestic legal team working on this in Nigeria. How bad is the situation there?
It's really very terrible. Very bad. In Nigeria, there is a Christian martyred for their faith. So murdered specifically because of their faith every 2 hours. There is a Christian killed every 2 hours in Nigeria. And like you said, out of all the Christians last year that were martyred for their faith last year, 90% of those deaths and murders occurred in Nigeria. And so Nigeria used to be on a list called countries of particular concern. And the United States puts those countries on this list that have these terrible religious persecution issues. The Biden administration came in and removed Nigeria from the countries of particular concern.
Why would they have done that? I mean,
that's why we have a FOIA.
Okay, so we got freedom of information going in on that. We've also filed reports on Nigeria at the UN.
Right. So the 53rd session of the Human Rights Council is just convening, and we submitted our written submission on Nigeria, one of five written submissions we submitted on Nigeria. And then we are actually hosting a side event when the 53rd session is convening in Geneva. We're hosting a side event that talks about the Christian persecution that happens in Pakistan and in Nigeria and drawing attention and asking for action on that.
This is ongoing work of the ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice. We have relations throughout the continent of Africa, and as we do around the globe, and we're going to defend people that cannot defend themselves. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. But this is a perfect example, Logan, where we're using our diplomatic skills at the United Nations through our Office of Government Affairs and our designated UN representatives, but we're also litigating to find out why in the world did Biden Department of State change Nigeria from a country of particular concern and give them a free pass. And we've got that litigation going on right now. Ben Sisney's heading that up right now. So that work is going on right as we speak.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great comments that are coming in right now, people talking about that. We had one on Rumble that just said they firmly believe the ACLJ is the only organization fighting for Christians around the world because it seems like some orgs can help only them, but the ACLJ is fighting for us. So that's a really nice statement that's coming through, and I think that's true.
You know, we launched our global initiative on the ACLJ back in 1997 when we opened up an office in Strasbourg, France, which is where the European Union is and where the European Court of Human Rights is. Now we've got offices in Jerusalem. We have relations around the offices around the globe. We're doing work around the globe, and we're about to expand that drastically. We have a unique situation that has come our way. We're not going to announce it yet, but it is going to revolutionize, we believe, a global vision for the ACLJ and our affiliated work. It'll cover everything from persecution to economic justice and issues to freedom and liberty around the globe. Thank you for listening for the first half hour. We've got a whole half hour coming up, and you're not going to want to miss it.
That's right. We encourage you to stay tuned. Yeah, if you don't get on your local station, find us broadcasting live right now on Rumble and all your other favorite social media platforms. We'll be right back in just 1 minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Now more than ever is right for the ACLJ, and you're keeping us in the fight, which is one of our themes for this year. And we, as you just saw in the beginning of this broadcast, we are fighting for justice on with the Durham investigation, which Lord knows we know more about than just about anybody in the country, because we did that litigation for the former president. Of course, then we talked about India, where the ACLJ front and center on that. We talked about Nigeria front and center on that. We're going to talk about some other victories, but we said we would take some phone calls, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Logan and CC are here with me. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Tim, who's calling in North Carolina. You're on line six, and you're on the air.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Just want to know, what do you do when, in my opinion, the communists or globalists, whatever you want to call them, have captured the highest agencies in your government and taken control? How do they get prosecuted?
Well, here's what you do. It's what we did. And it's Tim, it's not an easy process, but we took on one of the biggest agencies in the federal government, and that's called the IRS. And it was years of litigation. And we broke the back of the IRS and their targeting of conservative and pro-life groups and Christian organizations. And then we won, and we got a restraining, and basically an injunction against them. We got monetary damages against the IRS. They had to change their policies. But here's what happened. As soon as the Biden administration came in, they did it again. They sent out a letter to a Christian group and said, you know, D is for Republican, R is for Democrat. They used this legend. Bible was word of God. I mean, it was absurd that an agent would have written this. So what did we do? We filed a Freedom of Information Act litigation with the IRS to find out who authorized this, because they were violating an order that had been issued by a U.S. district court that the IRS consented to. So you hold them accountable by taking them back to court. It's not an easy process, but you have to do it.
Yeah, and we can't do it without the support of everyone who's listening as well. I mean, we take these cases, we fight the fight, but we need assistance in that. And so we have great supporters, and I just encourage everybody, you know, if you can, to send in support. But again, we're engaged, and it doesn't matter what the issue, we're going to fight for rights of Christians, of conservatives, and, you know, just
people
for liberty.
People are being abused. I mean, this idea that, you know, you can get discouraged, I get that. But, you know, we've had really good success in court. I mean, I'm thinking about the case we've got right now where we've got two pro-lifers that were just beat on the streets. And we got the Baltimore Police Department to send out an all-points bulletin to find out who did it. We've got video of it. They're going to have to prosecute him when they find the guy criminally. We're going to go after him civilly. We're not going to let this stuff just sit. Student was harassed for having a cross in school. We ended up with the teacher apologizing on that. We got another school district that we're dealing with in federal court in Nevada where they had a 15-year-old girl recite, demanded that the teacher demand she recited this pornographic, obscene play that some student had written as part of an assignment. When the mother went to read it to the school board, they shut her down. I'm going to play that video when we're back, and I'm just telling you, this is the nature of what it is, but that's why we fight. You want to try to grab another call?
We only got a minute and a half. I don't know. If we guess quickly, Tony, you're on the air.
Tony, go ahead. Yeah. Logan thinks I can do it.
Yeah. What I don't understand is how the FBI can be the way they are. I fought in the Navy, and I'm 60 years old now, and why can't they hold the people accountable that are making these mistakes?
Well, they can, except the people that were going to hold them accountable were the ones also making the mistake. So now you got the Durham report, which we've talked about in the first segment of this broadcast, which sets forth the fact that this is institutionally corrupt. So you got to rebuild this agency. So in the next election cycle, whoever the president is has to get in there and literally clean house at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Clean house on the leadership. And start, as Durham said, holding people accountable for what they did. And we're going to do that here at the ACLJ. I mean, we're looking at this situation with an IRS agent giving false pretenses to get into someone's house. And these are outrageous. To hold them accountable, we take them to court. That's what we do at the ACLJ from coast to coast and around the world. As Cece mentioned, support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org and also follow us on all of our social media. Great way to stay engaged with us.
That's right. It's really easy to do that. Just look for Sekulow on any account that you have. We're on all the biggest social media platforms. And of course, we really promote our friends at Rumble. So make sure you are liking and subscribing there. I do encourage you also, if you're watching on YouTube right now, a lot of new people watching on YouTube each and every day. So subscribe, obviously, on Rumble, but subscribe on YouTube. We are about to cross that 300,000 mark, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. So click subscribe if you can. Be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Yeah. So if you
How about any topic?
I don't know about any topic.
It's
within scope, can we say that?
Wacky or, Wednesday. You know,
yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Call in with whatever you have. I'm not guaranteeing you make it on the air, but you can give us a call. But there's a lot more we wanted to go over, especially work at the ACLJ. And we've always said, and we want to make sure we reiterate it, especially since there's so many new people joining us each and every day, is if you do need legal help, specifically in the scope of the work that we do, go to aclj.org/help. And if you have a question, whether that is within the scope, there's a simple questionnaire that gets you started. And look, that's how we tell everyone to reach out. Some people go, is this just a form, this, whatever? If someone comes to me personally and they go, how do I get legal help? Because trust me, friends do it all the time. I say, go to aclj.org/help, and you're immediately put in touch with an attorney with
the organization. Someone's looking at your file to see if it's a case we can take,
or something
we can help.
A human being is going through it. As long as there's going to be a basic questionnaire, and as long as it's part of that, someone is going to see it.
Yeah. All right. So
a lawyer.
We will take your calls. And as Logan said, aclj.org/help. Numbers of inquiries coming in have increased significantly, but also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ, especially when you hear about what we're working on right now. So aclj.org, and if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. I want to go first to a case that got a lot of attention early on, and Logan said it's made some attention kind of virally in the in Twitter and some of the other places. Mm-hmm. That involved a student and a cross. You wouldn't think that would be the kind of case that would get this kind of attention.
Yeah,
some positive, some negative, I'm sure.
Well, some of it's bots. Some of it is the way that the left takes a hold of some of these topics. And we saw it with this one. And we saw it with also that speech that was had, the monologue that was being read, which is people don't click through. And they go, oh, well, this is the ACLJ. This is some conservatives making stuff up. This didn't happen.
Yeah, well, it did.
Show us the proof. Show us the kid's name. Well, we're not going to do certain things like that.
We're not
going
to show him the kid's name because he's a kid.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this. We had a school district, and that school teacher said, and it was in Tennessee, told the kid that cannot possibly be your cross because, A, you couldn't afford that cross. So basically you stole it. And, B, you were twirling it around and hitting other students with your cross. The kid said, well, actually, I didn't do that, and I got the cross as a gift. And this was done in front of other students in a public school. They don't have enough problems in public schools. They got to pick on the kid with the cross. So, of course, there's video of what's going on in the public school because they have videos with cameras. So, ultimately, our lawyers, I think it was Abby Sutherland, worked on this one and said, yeah, we'd like to see that video. Oh, that video is going to be conclusive. You're not going to want to see it. Nah, we kind of would like to see the video. So we see the video, and of course, the kid goes into his classroom, and guess where the cross is? Around his neck. And what did the teacher do? Embarrass the kid for the cross. And you want to know the rest of the story? The cross was given to him by an individual, I believe was on the school board, who does an after-school program or assists in an after-school program for kids. And he gave all the kids in his little in this Bible club group, which we argued that they could have since 1991, gave them all a cross. But could you imagine, would a teacher come up to a Jewish student and say, you know, that yarmulke you're wearing? Or to a Muslim student and make a statement about their religious garb or religious item they have? No! You can't do that to the Christian kid either. By the way, the case has been resolved. But it was resolved because a parent contacted us at aclj.org and we took direct action.
Right. We do. And that's what we do. We take action and we get results. And in this case, we actually got an apology, not only to the mother and to the student, from the vice principal, the community superintendent, and the teacher. All three of them apologized to the student and to the mother. And that was a huge victory.
Which was all the mother and the parents wanted, was an apology. They didn't want to go and make it a federal lawsuit, which we would have done. They wanted an apology so that their kid is not embarrassed about his faith. And you know what? We got it resolved. That was a good one. Now, I got to set this other one up in Nevada. You've heard a little bit about it. It's getting pretty intense. This is in court. This is in federal court. A teacher in a 15-year-old class decides, 15-year-old's class, so what is that, probably a sophomore? Mm-hmm. Maybe not even.
Freshman.
Yeah, freshman in high school. They come up with these stories. And kids are writing them, supposedly. They're anonymous. The one that goes to our client's daughter is obscene, and she doesn't want to read it. And the teacher berates her for this. She's berated in the classroom. The mother goes to the school board meeting, which you're allowed to do. You're the parent, even though they try to label you a domestic terrorist. Goes to the school board meeting. What does she do? She wants to read the actual thing her daughter was supposed to read. This is from the school board meeting. Take a listen.
This will be horrifying for me to read to you, but that will give you perspective on how she must have felt when her teacher required her to memorize this and to act it out in front of her entire class. I don't love you. It's not you. It's just, I don't like your dick or any dick in that case. I cheated, Joe.
I'm sorry.
This is propaganda. Forgive me.
Excuse me. I don't. Thank you so much for your. Thank you for your comment. Forgive me. We're not using profanity. Simply, this is a public meeting. I asked for decorum.
If you don't want me to read it to you, what was that like for my 15-year-old daughter to have to memorize pornographic material?
Clark County Schools, Nevada, Las Vegas. The child is told to read it and is ridiculed for not reading it. The mother goes to the school board to read it, and they said, I'm sorry, you can't use profanity in a public meeting. But you can in a public school for a 15-year-old? So you're darn right we've gone to federal court in that. But it's outrageous. Now, Las Vegas has got a lot of issues. And you've got good friends in Las Vegas that have great ministries out there.
Absolutely.
But this is outrageous what took place there.
Yeah, and if anyone wants the proof, there it is. I mean, that's the problem.
I mean, if they want to go, you know, knocking us on social media, we put it out there. It's Clark County Public Schools.
Yeah, that one, it's unbelievable.
The mother is speaking. They cut her off because they don't want her using profanity, which all she was going to do was repeat what her daughter was told to repeat.
But it also gives people a bit more of the scope of all the work that we do. So you heard what we're doing internationally. Now you hear what we're doing very domestically.
Yeah.
You know, from your school board to, you know,
the United Nations
in India and all these different places. So the scope is incredibly large. Of the work that we're doing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and we, the same
But don't
effort.
Think it's too large to
no,
help.
No, I tell this to people. I mean, the same lawyers that represented a president will represent you. I mean, think about that for a moment. And that's whether, by the way, your case is at the Supreme Court or the International Criminal Court in The Hague, or if it's at the...
Or asking for an apology from your school.
Asking for an apology from a school district in Tennessee or demanding justice in Nevada and in Las Vegas. The ACLJ handles those cases because they impact people.
Yeah.
And especially young people.
Absolutely. And I think this is where, like you said earlier, if you have cases like this, if you have issues like this, if you go to our website, aclj.org/help, you can get help from us for these type of cases. And no case is too small, no case is too big. If it fits within our scope, you will get a response, and we will assist as we can. And we usually are very successful in these. A lot of times all it takes is engagement.
Yes.
And then you do get the apology. Because if you don't engage, you won't ever get anything.
All right, we got another one. We're in Circuit Court of the City of Richmond, representing an individual there against the Virginia Real Estate Board. This one you can't even believe happened. What happened here?
So this is a case where a real estate agent who happens to be a Christian had on her website John 3:16 and would send in her emails, like she would sign her emails with Jesus loves you and her name. And what does the Virginia Real Estate Board do? They come after her. They target her that she's discriminating because what they're implying is the fact that she's saying she's a Christian, then she's saying she will only assist and help Christians, which is just ridiculous. You can't make that inference from the fact that she's putting John 3:16 on her website or saying Jesus loves you, that she's saying I'm only going to help Christians.
It's
but
absurd.
That's what the real estate board has determined, and they have gone after her. And this has been an ongoing case that we have been fighting. And now we're at the point of summary judgment where we're literally asking the court that you need to rule that Jesus loves you is not discriminatory language. And in fact, what they're doing is they're discriminated against her
100%.
As a Christian.
Yes, but here's what's the case. This is the absurd presumption. The absurd presumption is that when she uses an expression of her faith, like the citation to John 3:16, that's proof that she would discriminate against people who don't share her faith. Which is ridiculous because she's sharing, putting John 3:16 on there to share her faith. But she's not saying, oh, if you're not a Christian, I'm not going to do business with you. That would be a very different situation. None of them is even alleging that. They're just saying the Bible verse itself is evidence of this problem. I mean, that's how, when you think about that for a moment, Logan, the idea that you put a Bible verse out there and now it's a violation of the law, to me, that is that's why you got to have an ACLJ, and that's why you got to have an ACLJ in every state to go to these cases.
Yep, and you can support the work right now by just going to ACLJ.org. You can make your donation right now, ACLJ.org. It's very easy. Not only can you make a donation, support the work, but you also can see incredible content, not just this daily show. I want to make sure you know there's so much more that's available, and it's updated regularly throughout the day. So make sure you always are checking out what's going on at ACLJ.org and following us on all our social media accounts. When we get back, I want to take a lot of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Going to move a little bit into talking more ACLJ work and also stuff that's going on at the border, but I'd love to hear from you on all these topics. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. And also I encourage you, if you're watching right now on Rumble or on YouTube, to either follow or subscribe. So follow on Rumble's the word there, but look for subscribe on YouTube. Getting close to 300,000 and crossed 200,000 on Rumble. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to jump right into the phone calls. Let's go to Steve, who's calling in Ohio on line 3. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Steve.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling. I live in Alliance, Ohio. One of the county schools, okay. Marlington School District, has always had prayer before their board meeting done by either a student or a community member.
Okay.
And they received a letter from a group, I think it's called Freedom From Religion,
yes.
out of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And they are demanding that they stop this or face litigation. And I'm afraid that they're going to, instead of having to pay big fees or whatever, yep. that they're going to give in. And they shouldn't. We need to fight this with all our might.
Okay, so they don't need to give in, and they don't need to worry about fees, because we need you or someone to get the school board to contact us. We are representing the city of Ocala in a similar situation now, involving prayer at a legislative a prayer vigil event. We've represented numerous counties on this, and the law is actually on our side. These groups do these letters of intimidation to try to silence a voice they don't like. Professor Hutchinson just walked into our studio. Harry, you've been writing about religious liberty and freedom. The issue of prayer before I can't even believe we're still litigating this. You know, I've been doing this for 40 years, but here we go. But the Supreme Court needs to be, they've been pretty definitive, but they need to stop the standing of these groups that just say, I'm offended, thus, you know, remove the prayer. And we've got a case that I think is going to do that, but it's going to be probably a year away from going to the Supreme Court.
I think you're absolutely correct. So one of the big issues out there is individuals deliberately put themselves before a forum so that they can indeed be offended, so then they can shut down the forum, particularly if it pertains to religious belief or prayer. And so I think the Supreme Court needs to intervene, and it needs to put its foot down and say no more, because essentially these are nuisance cases that are brought by individuals who will always be offended.
Yeah, and we have a case in the city of Ocala where that issue is right before them, and they didn't take the case. Justice Gorsuch, Justice Alito said that the standing issue should be litigated. But they wanted the Court of Appeals to rule on it in chief and first. I think we probably now win it between at the 11th Circuit. But who knows? It could well go to the Supreme Court. It should. Even if we win it, they should take it to say, enough with this offended observer. Because you go there to be offended so you can shut it down.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like this, the caller is talking about even school board prayers. And just like you said, this letter that's sent from the Freedom From Religion group, it is intimidation, because they don't think that they think the school boards will just cave and they won't reach out to an organization like the ACLJ, yep. who will step in and free of charge actually litigate this for them and defend them, because they have a right to pray at a school board.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call, and then I want to look at the border situation for a moment.
Yep, let's go to Phil calling in California. You're on the air.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, guys, I have a question about the national debt.
Yes.
Congress has just increased the debt ceiling to, I forget how many trillions of dollars, but what I want to know is, who does the USA owe money to pay off these debts? And number two,
Why is Congress talking about increasing the debt ceiling instead of paying off the debt like I have to do?
Yeah, like everybody has to, and every business has to do. Well, here's the sobering news, is to quote John Durham. Most of our debt is owned by the Communist Chinese Party. I'm giving you a radio silence pause there for a moment because I want that to sink in for a minute. Most of the debt of the United States is owned by the Communist Party of China, the CCP. And Harry, that's been true for decades.
Absolutely. And the United States government, particularly elected officials on both sides of the aisle, have put us in this precarious position so that China has huge influence over U.S. policy. And it's even more nefarious than that because China has invested in American firms, and then they get the American firms to put pressure on the U.S. Congress to issue more debt, so we then become more dependent on China, and we refuse, in many cases, to shut our border to Chinese imports, and this strengthens the Chinese economy. So it's a lose-lose strategy on the part of American officials, and we need to hold both Republicans and Democrats accountable for this state of affairs.
So right now, talking about borders, I want to talk about the border for a minute because this is we'll just keep quoting John Durham today, sobering number. The Border Patrol has caught, and I'm very glad the Border Patrol has done this, they've caught 127 illegal immigrants on the FBI's terror watch list, trying to get through the United States on the southern border. Let me give you that number again. 127 terrorists were trying to get into the United States through the southern border, and that's the ones we caught. Who know how many got away? But what we do know is this is not the narrative that the Biden administration wants. They don't want to talk about this. They don't like that the train has left the station, the toothpaste is out of the tube, that everybody knows this is happening. And we went to court on this, folks, to find out what was going on, and we sure did. I want to play this video for you. It also has audio for a radio audience. This is the work that you're paying for the ACLJ. This is how we get results.
In 2021, two Yemeni nationals on the FBI terror watch list were caught by U.S. Border Patrol agents. This was a heroic moment. Deep state officials silenced the heroism of our border agents who put their lives on the line to keep us safe. The White House doesn't want you to know they've lost all control of the border. If it wasn't for the work of the ACLJ filing a Freedom of Information Act request, you would never have known how close terrorists came to disappearing into the shadows of our city streets. We were able to do this all thanks to you. Keep us in the fight. To learn more, go to aclj.org/coverup.
Well, here's the thing that's important about this. Okay, you did keep us in the fight, and we got the result. And we found out what happened. And now it's interesting, and I think important, when you want to see the fruit of the victory. And Logan, here's the fruit of the victory. We're now actually getting real reports from the Customs and Border Patrol. They were not the problem, by the way. It was Homeland Security trying to squelch it down and the State Department. And now we know, for instance, the 127 were caught so far this year. Those numbers would not have been out unless we went to court. No way.
That's right. And you look at this cover-up campaign we did, you could still go to that aclj.org/cover-up and kind of get a really in-depth, interactive view on what happened there. Because again, good work being done, but being squelched because they don't even want the narrative that there are terrorists coming across the border.
Correct. But the fact is that we now know that they did it, and we now got the ammunition to keep reporting it, which means there's going to be an emphasis put on this because they know, guess what's going to happen? More Freedom of Information Act litigation from the American Center for Law and Justice. So you've seen it today, folks. A school district in Nevada, a school district in Tennessee, the United Nations on Nigeria and India to the president, and then federal court litigation in Washington, D.C. on the border. All this is the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Not even the tip of the iceberg. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, and I want to encourage you. You keep us in the fight. We're fighting for you and your families. Those people didn't have to hire lawyers. We were there. ACLJ.org is a great way for you to support the work at the ACLJ. Your gift is tax deductible, and we encourage you to do it at ACLJ.org. Help us stay in this fight. Also, if you need help, we're here. ACLJ.org/help. You can fill that out, and a lawyer will review the material you submit at ACLJ.org/help. We'll talk to you tomorrow.